for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of July the 4th, 1993. Family camp, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the morning.
Thank you so much. We appreciate Love Glenn and Irma Miller. To talk about dedication of missionaries, that really blessed me. Those that were married and that just went to the field. Well, I just appreciate the dedication of the Millers here. And that's why you and I are here to learn. Amen. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And it's good to meet here in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
I have something we need to do. Neva Thompson, we know her here well. And she has taken the responsibility of a little church up outside of St. Louis. And this morning is her first service. And she requested that we remember her in prayer. So pray for her.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We send the word and heal. Send the word and anoint. Send the word and comfort. And be God strong and vindicate Neva. Let the anointing of boldness be upon her. God, give her miracles here this morning and there in St. Louis area. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all those who have commissioned themselves in your hand. And I loose the anointing upon her and give her favor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, thank you for your word, and we bless in Jesus' name the ears that hear, and Lord, our hearts are open, and we desire onward to please the Father. Amen. That was the word for Jesus praying, desire onward to please the Father. So let's pray like Jesus did. The heavens will open. Amen. Now, our subject matter has been a subject that needs to be more open to the body of Christ. It's the mystery of His way. To deal with that subject as much as the finite mind can yield to the Holy Spirit. The mystery of His way is you've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. So, that authority that the Lord has given you and I to know, let's look at again. This will be a continuation of the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We dealt with, in review, the tearing of Samuel's garment meant a change of kingdom for King Saul, the first king of Israel. Samuel said, as you've tore my garment, this is what's implied, the Lord has tore the kingdom from you. And he said that to King Saul. It is a tremendous obligation in our salvation is to know the laws of the Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus. And without the Holy Spirit, you do not know those tremendous laws of the kingdom. But it is yet an obligation. Yes. In your state, if the state police calls you over to the side for a conversation, and you say, but I was not aware of the misdemeanor. I was not aware of the law. That does not excuse you. He will say, you should have been aware because you're having the privilege of being on the road. Huh? You have the privilege. So with the Baptist and with the Episcopal and with the Presbyterian and Catholic and all isms, you think you have the privilege of the road without the obligation of the law? You say, you mean the law? No, I mean the law of the Spirit of life.
Yes, hallelujah.
It's just as obligatory to you and I to know what this Word says. To know the heart of God the Father. To know what He expects of us. And not just a little document of fire insurance to miss hell. It's more than that. You've been given an authority in Christ Jesus. You've been given the road, the narrow road. You have a privilege of walking on it. You better know the rules. Because it's very explicit in Hebrews 6. You don't fool around with tasting of the powers of the world to come. You don't fool around with the things and the gifts of Almighty God. Maybe we should turn to Hebrews 6 and just see what that says, because it does give us the heart of God, the word impossible. Of course, I know I've read other commentaries that try to water it down, the once saved, always saved bunch. Yes, we are secure in the Lord. But oh my, the obligation of that which we have in Christ. I'll just start with verse 1, Hebrews 6. And therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I think one of the greatest domestic library obligations that you have, besides studying the Word of God and the instruments, let's say, of Strong's Concordance and others, would be Derek Prince's Foundation Series. Do you have that, Emma? She always has kept that, and I believe it's an accompaniment of the anointing of God in your life. So be sure to study the Foundation Series. It will be a blessing to you, and I'll be announcing, maybe holding it up so you can recognize it. When you leave this conference, I want you to leave with the anointing and zip, vim, vigor to know what the mystery of His will is in His way. Amen? And this will help you. Foundation. He uses that verse, by the way, as his theme. And to know the Foundation Series. Now, another book that seemingly is very, very thorough is a thick book that the Four Square Gospel has put out. And that is by Van Cleve and two of my professors, Dr. Van Cleve and Dr. Duffield, when I was in training for the ministry. These men have gone through, and it's called The Foundations of Pentecostal Doctrine. And all of your answers, most of them, will be answered there. That's another one, and I'm sure Irma could get that for you. Let's go on to verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have... Now see that? Underline it. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Let's put that in more of a positive light. But this is the mystery of His way to you, that you've tasted the heavenly gift. You've become partakers of the Holy Spirit. You've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come.
Yes.
That's your salvation.
Amen.
We miss that because it's a negative thing. We say, well, I'm not going to do that. No, it's a positive position that you have, and you're obligated to know and to walk in that dimension.
Amen.
Taste the heavenly gift. Become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Taste of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Lord, we thank You for that. Let's just praise Him. Father, we apply that to our heart. We thank you that we've tasted the heavenly gift, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, and we are partakers of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Because you know that I have allocated for you at the foundation of the world, I gave you and put it in your availability and in your hand that you would have all the authority and all the fullness of the Father. So therefore, my child, come and put your feet under my table, because, yea, I will bless thee, and I will anoint your head with oil, and your cup will run over with that which I've prepared for thee. So surely the shepherd will feed his sheep. And therefore you'll know my heart, and nothing shall be withheld from them that walk uprightly, saith the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6. They fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It's pretty tough language here. I cannot dwell with that except to give you that there's the obligation to taste the powers of the world to come. There's the obligation. The anointing of the Lord says, I want you to taste the heavenly gift. I want you to be partakers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want you to taste the good word of God.
Yes.
It's good if you and I, and this is the way I study, if a scripture comes to me, which it does now, taste the good word of God, I'm going to put down Acts by that verse 5, Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now, what is Acts chapter 11, verse 1? It talks of the Word of God. So let's go over there. We forget the Hebrews. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians. But let's go to Acts 11. In the book of Acts, after Cornelius, the Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though it was glorious, even though it was a dynamic occasion, all the apostles and brethren did not receive, as they should have, the mind of Christ. They still had the mind of Moses. You write it down. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to release the mind of Christ in the human being, into the believer's heart. Now the apostles, verse 1, and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? No. Had received tongues? See, this is a shocker, and I want you to underline, the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. Now, these apostles and brethren did not want this to happen. They wanted to be the elite group. They wanted to be the only ones to have communion with. We've heard that before. Closed communion. No such thing. They wanted to be the ones that spoke in tongues because it was popular at that time. But now when Peter went up to Cornelius, that centurion, that military man that learned spiritual revelation by giving, that's the quality he had. He loved to help and to give.
Yes.
And that gave him spiritual revelation. Amen. You're a good giver. You're going to be a good receiver. Because there's four main principles of the believer's life that Jesus told us. There was two negatives and two positives. But he says in Luke 6:37, he says, judge not, number one. Number two, condemn not. And number three, forgive. And number four, give. And that's the basic principles Jesus taught us. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. And forgive, and you'll be forgiven. And give, and it shall be given to you. And then he kept going, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Hallelujah. Shall men, even unconverted men, you'll have control of the social lights. Amen. Men shall give into your bosom. I'm going to speak to those that are in their own life, covetousness and proud. But by you giving, I'm going to loose and break the yoke off of them, and they'll give to you. My, my, my. That's just as powerful as a wife in 1 Peter 3:1-4, that a wife, even without the word, she in her conversation can save her husband. That's powerful. Amen. No wonder she's in the sight of God of great price, her mouth. That's a mystery of his way. Come into acting like Jesus, and it will confuse all satanic power and wiles of the devil. Amen. I'm not concerned about the wiles of the devil. I'm concerned about the fruits of the Spirit and the life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Apostles and brethren, people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't want anybody else to be filled with the Holy Spirit, especially those goyim. The goyim, the Gentiles. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, implying the same group. Just because there's a religious position, there's no sign they're being led of the Holy Ghost. Even then, they started contending with Peter. Why did you eat with them? Why did you even eat those tacos with those Gentiles? But thank God, they received the Word of God. When you're talking to somebody, you say, well, have you received Christ as your Savior? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I have. Have you received the Word of God? Well, what do you mean? Well, show them Acts 11, verse 1. The Word of God means they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus is their baptizer. And they speak in tongues just like we did, Peter said, at the beginning. Then show them Acts chapter 2. You better get with the program. Know the laws of the road. Back to 1 Corinthians 2. This portion of Scripture is the key of David. Write down by chapter 2, key of David. Because I know the key of David is found in Isaiah. Write that down. Isaiah 22:22. It's also mentioned in Revelation 19:10. The key of David. No, that's not. That's another scripture. Three something. Revelation. Let me go look that up. In that the key of David opens and no man will shut. Three, maybe someone could, 3:7. Oh, thank you. That's right. 3:7. These things say he who is holy, he who is true, he who has, underline it, he who has the key of David. No wonder Jesus prayed like that, because he had the key of David. He prayed harpazo. He prayed desiring honor to please the Father. He went up into the heart of God by faith and reached in, and that's all he taught, what the Father told him and gave to him. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. That privilege is given to you and I, because he's talking to the church here. And he says, if you know my truth, I'm true. If you know my holiness, you'll have the key of David. Amen. All right. Back to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. We saw how the anointing of the procedures the Apostle Paul is using. I did not use the capabilities. I did not expect them, although I'm sure Paul did not, murder the King's English. He was speaking in the native tongue of the Koinonia of that day, Koinonia. But this man, the Apostle Paul, of course, spoke eloquently. But he said, that's not the reason I'm here, to give you an eloquent speech. That's the difference between the great debates before the Civil War with Douglas and with Abraham Lincoln. As Lincoln spoke, not much in eloquence, but he spoke in truth and volition of heart. And so God wants you and I to go further than that even, to come into the authority and the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We closed off at verse 8. And this is the reason why the Apostle Paul said, you and I must flow in as believers under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, come with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Glorify the Lord. Let your heart be tender, praising and adoring the Lord. Because when you have the spiritual life in you, you'll be given a higher wisdom than anyone else in their natural mind can comprehend. And not only that, you will thwart, you will confuse, you will set them against themselves, and you will actually disarm all satanic power against you. See, these are the principles. We're to go forth and deliver the anointing of God. But here's the principles. Keep in this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Keep in the authority of Christ within you. And that spiritual dynamic. And then he concludes with verse 8, which none of the princes of this world or of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Known what? The mystery. In verse 7. So underline, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. And put down Ephesians by verse 7, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. By verse 7, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory. God had given us a formula of spiritual wisdom that would confound those that Lucifer was given charge over. He gave us that before Adam was ever created. My, my, my. It's important to God for you and I to flow in a spiritual perception. Because even the princes of the nations. And you and I have the authority. When you're watching, as we were last night after the service, Glenn and Irma and I, we were just so burdened for the people, the tremendous upheavals in nature and the floods and everything. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the prince of the United States.
Yes, amen.
In the name of Jesus. You and I have that divine authority. So let's agree. Father, in Jesus' name, we bind the prince of the United States. We bind the powers in the heavenlies. We rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. And we command in Jesus' name that you're bound and you will not take any more lives, and that the weather will be under the control of the Holy Ghost. So we speak as our Lord spoke, peace, be still. And we know that the authority within us, with the word of the living God, shall bring it to pass. And this day we will hear an unusual occurrence that has stopped nature's upheaval. Now, Father, we send the word, the angels, we dispatch to the nations, the turmoil in Nigeria. We bind the evil prince. In Iraq, we bind the evil prince. In Europe, throughout the world, we bind the evil princes. For your knowledge is limited. You do not know the spiritual warfare. the tactics of our Lord, the captain of the host of our God. In Jesus' name, we bind you, and we praise the Lord for great victory throughout the earth. Amen. So keep that prayer similar to that going in your mind. When you see something on the news reports or here, and it quickens your spirit, in other words, even negatively, you feel, oh my, what can I do? I can't, oh, this is way beyond me. No, it isn't. You bind the evil prince. Amen. The prince of Persia, that Daniel, he had his prayer answered immediately. And that's why some of us tend to get discouraged when a prayer isn't answered. It's answered. You just shift into spiritual warfare and know how to bind the evil prince. Hallelujah. So they did not know. That's why Jesus was crucified. And even in the cross, so everything that we identify in the cross thwarts satanic mentality. I mean everything. Giving, remember? Loving, you thwart satanic mentality. That's why counselors need to teach and churches need to teach. Our divorce rate would certainly be annihilated if we taught the authority of loving. That would confound satanic opposition against homes. The authority of submission, the authority, oh hallelujah, of the anointings of our God, acting like Jesus. That's the formula. Go on to chapter 9, verse 9 in 1 Corinthians 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. We're not talking about heaven here. Verse 7, the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. That's what he's talking about. What did God ordain before the ages? Before Adam, he's talking about eye has not seen, ear not heard, what he prepared for us back then, not something in the future.
Yes,
we got a little heaven to go to heaven in. Most people ain't put off everything until Jesus' feet touches the Mount of Olives. And when he comes on the white horse, then bless God, devil, watch out. Well, devil, watch out now.
Amen.
You got the same authority now. So apply it to your life. This is a beautiful text, but let's not get it out of its proportion. It's not a futuristic teaching. It is how God planned for you and I to be victorious. If we know the rules of the road. On the road again. Well, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love Him. It's a statement. It has not entered into the heart of man. You don't get this by religious zeal.
Amen.
You don't get this in your organized group. Verse 10 tells us how we get it. But God has. See that? Past tense. Not future. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit, oh hallelujah, searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's the mystery. Write it down. The mystery of His ways and His will. I love it. Amen. Oh, glory to God. In every move of God, in most every full gospel move in our generation and in previous generations, anointed individuals will come into the graciousness of the mystery of His ways. And they go as far as the acts of God. They go as far as the acts of God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. And when they begin to have the acts of God and signs follow them,
uh-huh,
and they have a healing ministry, then they start to get organized and build something.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Glory.
I mean overbuilt. I'm sure that...
Yes.
Go all the way back to Dowie. Tremendous revelation. And through the times, the little boy out of where I was born, Shawnee, Oklahoma, called Jaggers, one of the greatest anointed Assembly of God ministers there was, along with AAA, A.A. Allen. Tremendous. When they start having the acts of God, they seemingly just stop there. Amy Simple McPherson, I worked at Angus Temple when I was in Bible college. We had a huge room, two or three times this size, filled with crutches. Eventually, after 30 years, 40 years, we threw them away. X-rays, miracles, tremendous miracles. I'm just saying that not as a criticism, but when people begin the themes of faith, the themes of covering, the themes, all the, and then we get organized.
Come on.
We get elite now. We're recognized. Then we jockey for position. And usually, it's family. The families take over the vision that should have been kept spiritual.
Oh, yes.
Because we got property now. Those days are over. May the Lord touch the kingdom of God among us throughout the earth. Thank God. I don't begrudge any families at all. That's not the point. The point is making a family member in charge of the Holy Ghost vision.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Let them get good salary. Let them be blessed because of the price that was paid. Amen. Thank God for it. I would love my son and my family, amen, to be blessed. They don't flow in that authority and anointing. I mean, if they don't, then they have no reason to be in charge. And after Peter, in Acts 11, after Peter had this conversation and they got after him, the brethren, the apostles, and the circumcision, who ruled the apostles. They did not go by Acts chapter 1's theory that Peter brought forth. Peter says, we're going to choose someone to fill in for Judas that has walked with us from the days of John the Baptist.
Yes.
Somebody that's been with us, Barsabas and Matthias, I think it was. And then Matthias, say his name. Anyway, he was appointed to fill in for Judas. That's all we've ever heard of him. But before Peter knew it, he's out of office. Before Peter knew it, they reach into Jesus' family and get James, who will do what they tell him to do. For a while, he speaks good. He can write a good book, and it's true. Anointing of the Spirit uses him, but all of that dogs him all of his life, that circumcision. He goes in with the elders, and they're the ones that made the Apostle Paul shave his head, go back into the Nazarite vow, and the Apostle Paul probably, on the seventh day, would have sacrificed a lamb. Jesus would not permit his apostle to do that, and that's why the Asians come up against Paul, and he was put in prison the rest of his ministry. For a while, he speaks good, he can write a good book, and it's true, anointing of the Spirit uses him, but all of that dogs him all of his life, that circumcision. He goes in with the elders, and they're the ones that made the Apostle Paul shave his head, go back into the Nazarite vow, and the Apostle Paul probably, on the seventh day, would have sacrificed a lamb. Jesus would not permit his apostle to do that, and that's why the Asians come up against Paul. And he was put in prison the rest of his ministry. Thanks, James. And that's in Acts 22, if you want to look at. Here is not just critical analysis. I mean, we're dealing with human beings here. And if these great men who walk with Jesus, and the Apostle Paul who was prophesied by Jesus himself, then yet 14 years later, he come into that which was prophesied. My God, where do you and I show up? We better tend to the rules of the book. the authority of what is being spoken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and dedicate ourselves unto Him, that the mind of Christ would be supreme in our being. Oh, Lord, we long for Thy wisdom. Amen. God, we do not want to be tripped up and just belong to something in Tulsa or someplace else or Springfield. My God, the anointings that have been killed by structural denominationalism. We're not going to promote you unless you do what we tell you to do. It's implied. You're not going to have the thousands. My heart is breaking. I was reading the Charisma magazine last night, the Vermis and Glenn's, and my heart broke. I need to write to Charisma. I want to write that article. Do I have to quench the spirit to have a crowd?
Oh,
my.
Oh,
my. Amen. May God help us. I've been reading some things that, oh, I've got ammunition in the Word. That's what Korah tried to do. He got the crowd. He had all of the leaders of Israel come against Moses. Almost took over. We have just as much right as you do. The only element is Moses kept the rules of the road and the anointing.
Yes.
Others are more talented, sure. Others can persuade people, but just to persuade crowds doesn't mean you're the anointed one. Those who try to take over other ministries and belittle those in command. Oh, thank God for people with maturity that will guard the anointing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, got a little carried away there.
Amen.
But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You're not going to get it any other way. Get what? The mystery of His way. That which He's already put into the sanctuary of His heart. You can come into the Holy Spirit only and receive it. That's why most of the evangelical commentaries are not valid today. Because they have not opened up the spiritual blessings and authority of the Holy Spirit. And it's just the letter of the Word. I know it's a certain area of understanding we admire. We're not critical of individuals, but we're just saying, let's not leave the other undone.
Right.
There's some others that have been left undone.
That's right.
And I encourage a spiritual revelation. God raised up a Pentecostal Calvin, if you please. 19-year-old boy that come out with some of the most outstanding theological approaches that are not scriptural. And whole denominations would take it up. Give us some young men that are filled with the Holy Ghost that have heard from the heart of God and have the key of David. Loose the key of David among us. Loose the anointing. Hallelujah. Give us some senior citizens that will speak what they know is true.
Amen.
Have been with Him that tread the winepress alone. Their garments are stained with Him. With the blood covenant. Amen. Oh, praise God. I wish they were here. So, for the Spirit searches. Underline the word searches, please. Is that in all the translations, searches? Anybody have an amplified? What was the amplified saying? Anybody have an amplified? I've got one in my suitcase. All right, good, dear. Come. Just stand up and I'll come over there. I think the camera can get us. All right. Read it. What are we reading? 1 Corinthians 2 and 10.
Mm-hmm. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything.
That's right. Now, say that again. The Holy Spirit searches diligently. It's no casual thing to the Holy Ghost. Does that mean the Holy Ghost just has it? No. He searches the heart of God for you, for your particular situation. Say it again.
For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything.
Oh, exploring, examining everything. Go ahead.
Even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God.
Sounding. I looked up this word searches, and that's the Amplified brings it out the closest of any translation. You must have an Amplified available in your home. You've got to get an Amplified. My wife preaches from it, studies from it. She helps me in much. I like the King James first, then I go to other translations. But I keep a small Amplified New Testament with me. But this word searches, write it down, is sonar in the Greek. 2,000 years ago. S-O-N-A-R. Sonar. And that's the word for sound. I love to fish, and I love to be on a boat, although sometimes I like to hunt for them, but they say, oh, here they are. And they got this fish finder, sonar, and there they are. Boy, those bass, and oh, yeah, there's some barracuda if we're on the ocean. There's some yellowtail. And the skipper says, start chumming, start throwing the bait out, and they'll come to the top. I tell you what, that's Holy Ghost does that. Read it again, dear. Read the whole verse.
Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God.
Even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. Say it with me. Even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. See, you didn't know there was a bottomless pit for the believer. And that's God's heart. I mean, that might shock you a little bit, but that's all right. It means you haven't even begun. You haven't even started to know God's heart. If the Holy Ghost has to do it. And He's the only one who can do it for you. Oh, I want to know you. Amen. Well, you yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Spirit. Speak in tongues. Flow and build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will go, phew, sounding. And the Bible is my screen. When I study the Word, I can see where the fish are. Hallelujah. I can see where the financial blessing is. I can see where God's leading me and where the anointing and the victory for my home and my children and grandchildren. I can bless them because I've been in the heart of the Father. He searches. He sounds out the heart of God and the profound and bottomless. I don't even think anybody's been to the bottomless. Not that I know of. That doesn't keep me and you from desiring it. Father, we desire the profound, the bottomless. And so, Father, send Thy Holy Spirit. We thank You for the Holy Ghost that's upon us. So now, Father, search out by the Holy Spirit. You have revealed these things. The Holy Ghost alone can reveal them unto us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we speak for all the churches throughout the land, especially this great country. Revive us again. Stir us again. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to the pulpiteers and those who are in the pulpits, those that are in the land. We thank You, Father. Loose and break the yoke. I'm praying for the churches in the land. I don't know if I should say this or not, but this the Lord dealt with me last week. Your tithe does not belong in the church. That'll shock you. I was praying about that, and the Lord said, your tithe belongs to the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
And the pastors have controlled the fivefold ministry blessing. If you really tithe to the fivefold ministry, see, the church in the storehouse was written at the time when the fivefold ministry was in the congregation. Now they quench the spirit, they put the fivefold ministry out. A pastor will not have anybody that prophesies, will not have anybody that delivers, will not have the teacher. Well, they'll bring a teacher in now and then if they teach what they want them to say. This was hard for me because I've been a pastor and I've preached it. Bring everything to the storehouse. I finally got wise. The Holy Ghost says, would you look up the word storehouse in the Hebrew? And it means a place where ammunition is kept. Now, I want you to know it's a garrison, and I want you to know you can tithe here. I know Glenn's just being kind to you. When the Spirit moves upon you, you should be able, you should have enough maturity to know where the anointing is.
Amen.
And a pastor that quenches the Holy Ghost, that only does what his counsel says, that's a counsel of the 10 spies.
Amen.
And they'll never get any giants delivered. Amen. Hope Glenn asked me back, but that's all right. I'm sure he will. That's right. But here's what the anointing is trying to teach us. A sister called me as a friend, not just, but Marianne's prayer partner. She said, oh, my husband just, well, they're lawyers. They're very wealthy. She said, well, we give everything. I just felt like giving and am I right in it? I want to be right. I said, the scripture that says, give to the storehouse. And you know what? The anointing, the Holy Ghost said, the fivefold ministry is not admonished in most congregations today. You're to give to the fivefold ministry. And I don't know. This is not really, thus saith the Lord. But the Holy Ghost revealed it to me. A fifth of your tithe goes to the pastor. A fifth goes to the teacher. A fifth goes to the evangelist, including missionaries. A fifth goes to the prophet, and if you can find the apostle. But there are places where that move occasionally in an apostolic authority and have the signs follow. That you should support. Amen. But you're going to see amputees, people that have limbs cut off or through accidents. You're going to see miracles in our day. When the fivefold ministry is appreciated in the body of Christ. As Glenn said, for 40 years almost, I've been preaching this gospel, prophesying. I've been not asked to the great churches because they don't want this type of anointing. And I will not compromise. But God has not robbed me. It's laid up for me. Hallelujah. In this life, I'll be blessed with millions. Amen. I know the authority of God. I know that the anointing. But there's a day this year, there'll be circumstances happen that those that are spiritual are going to be called upon. And there'll be many leaderships coming to this place for deliverance. God's going to draw them in. Let's talk in tongues. Let's praise Him. Glory to God. We loose the anointing. We loose the glory of God. We will not compromise. We will not be robbed. My God has revealed Him unto us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to rebuke the devil. You know, I feel led right now. You're going to give abundantly and rebuke this off of the church. No longer shall Pentecostal and Holy Ghost people be an hour late and a dollar short. I mean, that's an Oklahoma term, but you know what I mean. If you want to, right now, the Spirit of God is leading me that the yokes are going to be broken off of you, and we're going to give a heave offering.
Amen.
Frank, leave your Bible on there, Frank, but take your pen and stuff, and then piece of paper. I want you, and I don't care if you hit the Bible or not, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to release the covenant of salt to the body of Christ this morning. I'll continue with this the next session I have. And I believe we've reached a great climax here. Turn with me to Numbers 18. We're going to bless the vision that God has given the Millers, and all of us will see a yoke broken off of us today. Numbers 18. And we're going to look at the heave offering, verse 19. Numbers 18, verse 19. This was given especially to the Levites. We're going to loose the Levites of the land. We're no longer... Now, by Levites, you mean the... I mean the priestly anointing, or the Spirit does. No longer, see, are we going to put up with domination of finance that will just keep building fine edifices without the power of God. God's going to break the yoke off of the Baptists, off of the Nazarenes, off of the Episcopals, off of the Pentecostals. The anointing of God's going to break the yoke, and those that are led by the Holy Ghost are going to see the prosperity of God because you've given this morning. We're breaking that yoke. Let's look at verse 19. All the heave offerings of the holy things. Are you with me? This is the New King James Version, so follow along. Which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you, and your sons and daughters with you. When you give this morning, your sons and daughters are going to have more revelation of Christ than they've ever given before. You're going to break the yoke by this offering. This is God's way. It's just as unusual as Jesus spitting in some dirt. This is unusual but powerful and effective. I have given it to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. So we're scriptural. Amen. It's an ordinance forever. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. It is a covenant, say it with me, covenant of salt. Well, I'm the salt of the earth because I know Jesus. Oh, you're putrefied because you're not obeying the Scripture and the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is a covenant of salt we're making with God in our giving this morning. Forever before the Lord, with you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, oh, I love this one. Sister, how about the Amplified on that, verse 20? Come up here with me. All right, read verse 20. Let me read it in this one. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel, or the children of God. Verse 20, read it.
And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land of the Israelites, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the Israelites.
Amen. All right, good. I am your portion and your inheritance. Just about the same. Now let's go over to verse 27. And your heave offering. Your heave offering. And the word heave in the Hebrew is room. Write it down. R-O-O-M. It might be pronounced a little different than we do. Room. But it's room. And it means to be high. To elevate. It's spelled R-U-W-M in the Hebrew. R-U-W-M. To rise. To raise. To thrust. High. To bring up, exalt, give, go up, to lift up, to set up on high, hold up, mount up, and promote. And the heave offering shall be reckoned. Amen. That word reckon is koshab, to plait, to weave and braid hair, to plot or program. To contrive, to forecast, to invent, to impute. It shall be reckoned to you. In other words, you're going to be blessed abundantly when the covenant of salt is sealed. As you give the heave offering today, it will be reckoned. It will be imputed to you as though it were the grain of the thrashing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Underline thrashing floor because that's a spiritual purity of the Holy Spirit. Thrashing floor always means the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The winepress always means the blood covenant with the Word to give you and I the strength and maturity in the Lord. Purity is the thrashing floor. Write it down. Purity is the thrashing floor. Maturity is the wine press. And thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. Verse 29. Underline, of all your gifts you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord from all the best of them and the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to you, the Levites, to the priests and the anointed ones, as the produce of the thrashing floor and as the produce of the wine press. Hallelujah. Verse 32, the last verse. And you shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. The anointing of spiritual life is given to you today as we give the heave offering unto the Lord. You will talk to your wife or husband if there's a couples here. Let the Holy Ghost. We're going to break the yokes now. We're going to just give, hallelujah, to the vision of this camp. We're going to throw, come waving your offering. And as you wave it, the yokes are broken, the covenant of salt forever. Your descendants are blessed. The anointing of revelation, the wine press of purity, or of maturity, and the thrashing floor of purity. The anointing of His grace. I did not plan this. Glenn knows I didn't plan it. He doesn't really. He wants to be low-key as far as offerings are. But we're obeying the Holy Ghost this morning. The anointing of God's going to break the yoke. But He's going to break the yoke over whatever community or church you represent. The anointing of God's going to set them free. This is what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. I want those who will search my heart. You think, well, they're cold or they've been persuaded by their group. No, God's going to set them free. Those we love that preach the Word. Some of our relatives, some of our outlaws and in-laws are preaching the Word, but they've missed the heart of God Almighty. But not from this day on. We're going to give and break the yoke. Hallelujah. Amen. Pick the largest bill. Give the best of it. Amen. Write checks that are going to, hallelujah, be bountiful to the kingdom of God. We're going to loose the anointing. Hallelujah. At least a 20. But God's anointing is upon you. Father, in Jesus' name, we loose the heave offering here this morning. And as you come, we praise you, Father, that you've given us breath. You've given us authority. Glory to God. We're going to break the yoke that's been upon the church. The fivefold ministry has too long been robbed. The pastor has controlled the funds of the kingdom of God. And that's not right. And the tithe doesn't belong to the church. The tithe belongs to the storehouse. And a place that will deny the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the storehouse. It's not the place where ammunition has been kept. And this needs to be written up in charisma. May they print it. There's time some changes are made in the body of Christ. Political changes have not helped us. Maybe the Holy Ghost can change us. Amen? If we'll yield, but this is what we're doing this morning. We're putting the money where our mouth is. Amen? Loose the anointing. I want everybody to respond. Not me, but the Holy Ghost is here. And you get involved with that authority and that anointing. Yeah, I don't care where it goes. You wave it. Let's all stand. Get your checks written. What is it, Glenn? Checks. Written to LHBC. We're just going to give. We're just going to give to break the yoke off of the covenant of salt. Amen. And as you come, wave your offering. And as you wave it, about 4 or 5 feet, put it back a little further. Frank, yeah, a couple more feet there. Yeah, right there. As you wave it, you come up and you heave it. That means lift it up. It's just unusual, but God said it. And it's an ordinance forever. And we forgot about it. We don't want anybody to see what. Hey, praise God. You're going to heave it. And wherever it goes, bless God. All right, loose the anointing. Come on, let's give. Let's break the yoke. We break the yoke off of the priesthood. We break the yoke off the prophet. We break the yoke off the pastor. We break the yoke off of the evangelist and teacher. We give abundantly this morning. Glory to God. He come to the Masandalamaha. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. God is your portion. Land is not your portion. God is your portion and your inheritance. Hallelujah. Wherever it goes, raise it up. Lift it up. Heave it. Heave it. It's an ordinance forever. Holy Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! 1 Chronicles 29. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29, then I'll give it to Glenn. Because you, come on. All right. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 6. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. Underline, offered willingly in verse 6. Go down to verse 10. See, this is the groundbreaking of Solomon's temple. And this is where Jesus got the Lord's Prayer. Verse 10 now. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now listen to this. It's very similar to the Lord's Prayer. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thine is the kingdom. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Hallelujah. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow. And then he goes on to tell them and talk to the people. But praise God, our hope is in the Lord God. He, just say, God is my portion and my inheritance. And I will be liberal. And I will be a giver. And the enemy cannot comprehend it. Darkness cannot comprehend it. And from this day on, spiritual insight, inheritance zeal shall go before me. The land is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and I am blessed. Amen. 2 Peter. 1 Peter. 2, 9, and 10. Right after James. All right. 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation. If you have it, let's read it together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, bless this offering. This is more than just an amount of money. This is an offering of the covenant of salt. The funds and finances over this ministry are broken today. The anointing of the Lord will bless, and the authority of our God, hallelujah, is upon the people to give to the anointing, to give to Jesus, who is the Christ. And we love you for it. We thank you for the faithfulness of this people, for we have spoken the word. Now let it go before us, preparing the way and make them straight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Is it time?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.